This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
It's great to have you with us here on a very busy Monday night, and we begin with that tragedy on campus, a deadly attack. A student armed with a hunting knife taking aim, the violent attack unfolding at the University of Texas at Austin. A young man, 21 years old, targeting multiple victims. The suspect surrounded within minutes, a large knife hanging at his side, but not before he got to several people, apparently at random. ABC's Clayton Sandell leading us off.
Chaos tonight on a college campus.
Three patients that have been stabbed. One in the neck.
The stabbing spree starting just after 1:45. Blood spattered on the pavement.
UTPD is pursuing the suspect at this time.
Police say that suspect calmly walked around this plaza at the University of Texas, Austin, suddenly attacking people with a large hunting knife.
He walked up to this guy that was just within arm's length of me and grabbed him by the shoulder and stabbed him in the back.
Just 2 minutes after the violence erupted, officers taking the suspect down.
Let me see your other hand, please. Right out front of you. Do not move or you will be saved.
Police say the suspect is Kendricks White. He is a student at UT Austin. Handcuffed and pinned to a vehicle, the sheath for a large knife seen at his side. He allegedly stabbed four students. One of those victims did not survive.
We're going to be stopping CPR due to injuries incompatible with life.
It breaks my heart that any of our students are touched by tragedy.
Classes canceled due to the tragedy.
And Clayton joins us now. Clayton, police are unclear as of yet on any possible motive.
That's right, David. Police say that White is being interrogated by detectives tonight, but he's not saying much, so that alleged motive is still a big question mark tonight. What police will say is that the suspect apparently had no connection to his victims. David.
Clayton, thank you.
Well, you know, when you hear of these stories and these random knifings, of course, it brings to mind, and I understand, you know, as people go, well, why would you react so well? You hear about all these stabbings that are happening elsewhere, and is this, some sort of knife intifada? Now, the authorities at the University of Texas campus in Austin continue the investigation to try to understand the motive behind the student stabbing spree that left one dead and another three wounded. The suspect was a biology major, Kendricks White. He was arrested at the scene at around 1:30 on Monday when officers arrived at the high-traffic plaza in front of the school's Gregory Gym. They discovered that White was carrying a large Bowie-style hunting knife, and a man wounded and bleeding on the ground. Another three students were found injured nearby. It is just an incredible, incredible situation that this would happen on a campus. Of course, they're looking at the suspect's mental health right now. A former classmate, Angela Bonilla, described White as the sweetest guy, while others remembered him similarly. Melanie Adenu, president of the campus Black Health Professionals Organization, said the alleged attacker was a member of the student group, that he was very passionate about his work, describing him as a very interactive and easygoing. UT student Joshua Anderson told KXAN that White was very friendly and talkative, but added that he'd been missing classes lately. When he asked White why, the student told him that he had put academics on the back burner for a bit. So this is still to be understood, and, you know, we will keep you up to date as the news continues to unveil here. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Good to have you along with us. Let us know your thoughts. You want to get involved in the conversation, let us know, you know, what you think about what came down with this budget. Were you surprised or disappointed? You can get involved at hashtag BML Talk or call us. Let us know, how you feel about it. You can chime in. We'd love to hear from you because it's important that you do get involved in the conversation. Our phone number here, 877-317-6432, 877-317-6432. We've got Dr. Ann Pierce on deck. We're going to talk North Korea, talk about the threats and, let's talk and see. Some are saying we're closer to World War III than we want to admit. Dr. Ann Pierce will explain. Stay with us just about 5 minutes after.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Thank you for joining in on the mission to get this country back on track. We, the people, need to stay activated and connected and confrontive, okay? Forget about resisting. Resisting doesn't do you much, but you've got to be able to confront the problem and speak truth to power. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you, and Dr. Ann Pierce joins us, a contributor to the Washington Times, Ricochet.com, Real Clear Politics and the Washington Examiner, author of A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. Dr. Pierce, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, President Trump says we have a major, major conflict with North Korea. It is all possible. And just the other day said he'd be willing to meet with the North Korean president.
Yeah, he did say that. He should not have said he'd be honored to work with him. Yeah. As you know, I believe American foreign policy at its best combines moral and practical concerns. So we're working on global stability and national security, but we're also working on political freedom and human rights. And I really do believe that our best foreign policy presidents, from Harry Truman to Ronald Reagan, managed to emphasize all of the above. Mm-hmm. So having said that, though, I'm really glad that what Trump is actually saying is that he will meet with Kim Jong-un if this terrible regime over there stops proliferating, stops testing ballistic and nuclear weapons. And what we have seen over recent years is the exponential progress of North Korea's nuclear and missile programs to the point that that capability is said by experts to be growing every day. So I'm very happy that this administration is taking the threat so seriously, and I actually like a lot of the components of their policy. I can talk about that.
Yeah, I want you to break that down, but I want to, you know, just go back and reflect on, you know, what you mentioned in terms of the president saying he was honored. That stuck out to me. It was like, well, where did that come from? How can you be honored? I mean, is this Barack Obama all over again, you know, bowing, you know, to the Saudi king, you know, going on an apology tour, or what the heck's going on here? I mean, I didn't care for that. That I don't know if it was a misspoken word or what, but this is kind of what got him in trouble when he tried to I think elevate Putin, and now he can't get Putin off the bottom of his shoe, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of the reasons that I was very concerned about Trump as president during his campaign, because he did continue to make these seemingly apologetic comments about dictators, including Putin. And I was also worried that, like Obama, he would slouch toward isolationism and that this would create yet more vacuums that extremist groups and extremist regimes would fill, as they did during the Obama years. I've been really relieved in on all fronts, actually. If you look at the Trump foreign policy team as a whole, he has a fantastic team in place. And if you take what they're doing collectively, I mean, you have Nikki Haley in the U.N. making passionate statements on human rights. And Tillerson, I've been relieved about him. He doesn't only speak out about strategic threats. He also speaks out about moral threats. And Dan Kelly and Dan Coats and others have been really well-rounded in what they've said. And then you also have to give President Trump credit for giving his foreign policy team latitude and for being willing to grow so much on the job. I've really been pleased with that. But then, as you said, when he comes out and he says he'd be honored to meet one of the worst, most cruel dictators the world has ever seen, you just say, oh, please don't use that language.
Exactly. What were you thinking? Just a bad slip of the word here. But as you say, the team, we were talking about this the other day, that Nikki Haley has been a pleasant surprise here with the administration, how she's found a very strong and forceful position there as our representative to the United Nations. Tillerson, I mean, who would have thought Tillerson, with his Exxon background and business background, how measured he is. I mean, he brings a demeanor of calm, but yet, some firmness, to the position that we haven't had in quite a while. I mean, a huge contrast compared to John Kerry.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, you look at Nikki Haley in the UN, and you just have to love the way she is unwilling to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
There are games that are absolutely entrenched in the National Security Council and the UN as a whole. And, for example, she comes out with this forceful condemnation of Assad, highlighting all his horrific treatment of the Syrian people and the use of chemical weapons and the human rights violations in general. And then when the U.S. actually takes that limited strike on the air base in Syria, there was a meeting called to discuss U.S. action. And Nikki Haley comes out and she says, I refuse to do this in a closed-door session. She says, if you're going to sit there and take up for Assad, you need to say it in public.
Right.
And then, of course, you have Tillerson with his recent trip to the U.N. What a statement that was, to have the Secretary of State actually chairing a special U.N. Security Council. And they're finding these various ways to shine a light on what a lot of these countries that try to pretend they're against dictators actually don't do a darn thing. So I love the public focus on what the so-called international community is actually doing as opposed to what they occasionally say.
Well, and the president, to his credit, is trying to, bring this coalition of international partners together against whether it's Assad and certainly what's going on in North Korea, I mean, China. I know that Trump is putting a lot of eggs in the China basket right now, but what's your read on this currently?
Yeah, well, I've come out, actually, since I talked to you last, I've come out with two articles on North Korea, and both of them have been positive on the Trump team's North Korea policy. The one was called The Futile Pursuit of Negotiations with North Korea, Why the Trump administration is right to pursue other options. Because if you look at the pursuit of negotiations, what that did was it provided time and cover for North Korea's pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. And no matter how many times North Korea backed out of negotiations, refused to participate in negotiations, or violated previous negotiating terms, what the Obama administration did was say, oh, the door is still open to negotiations, if only you'll do this and if only you'll do that. And Team Trump comes along and says, this is not working. Look at what's happened while we've taken that approach, exactly the opposite of what you would want to happen. So they undertook an urgent policy review, and what their new policy is based on is applying leverage and pressure on North Korea and its enablers.
Exactly.
So they're accelerating missile defenses to South Korea. They're prolonging military exercises with South Korea and sending more firepower to the region. They're working on all sides, from all fronts, to try to increase sanctions.
Okay, we got to pause it here. We'll be right back right after a break. Stay with us. Dr. Ann Pierce is with us.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other procedures. Prescription, so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live. Turn it up.
Welcome back, America. Coming at you 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Every day right here on this SDG radio network, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. A conversation with Dr. Ann Pierce continues, contributor to the Washington Times, Ricochet.com, Real Clear Politics, and the Washington Examiner, author of A Perilous Path, A Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. That was then. Here is now. And we are mostly encouraged by this new policy that the Trump administration is employing, aren't we, Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, I actually came out with an article 2 days ago in U.S. News and World Report, and I actually called it a promising start. And that's how pleased I was about a lot of the foreign policy that this team has collectively put together, and not just pleased, but really relieved, because I did have my major concerns. When you're talking about North Korea, there's a great example of what I consider to be really sound policy. As I said, they underwent an urgent policy review, and as a result of that review, they decided to postpone negotiations and instead to accelerate missile defenses, conduct military exercises with South Korea and prolong those exercises, send more firepower to the region, increase pressure on China to stop sponsoring North Korea, and emphasize that we would not waver in our commitment to Japan, South Korea, and other allies. And, of course, there's also this effort to build a broader coalition to isolate North Korea that will include the Philippines and Singapore and Thailand. In addition to all of this, you've had this steady parade of American leaders to the region as if to emphasize, hey, we really meant it when Trump said it's time to take the blindfolds off with North Korea and it's time to solve the problem, because you had first Secretary of Defense Mattis, then you had Secretary of State Tillerson, and now you have CIA Director Mike Pompeo meeting with the head of South Korea's National Intelligence Services and also meeting with U.S. forces and the U.S. Embassy. So I see this as all good. But then, as you mentioned, there are these Trump statements and sometimes Trump actions that come out and you think, oh, no, just as you've got this excellent foreign policy team putting together excellent policy, why would you do that? And one of those moments was when he said he'd be honored to meet at some point with Kim Jong-un. And the other, yesterday, I guess it was, I was really appalled at this when he started saying, well, South Korea has to pay for their own missile defense.
Yeah, really, why do you come up with that at this point? I mean, you know, right now you've got a sense of urgency, an immediate call to action, take care of that, and then, oh, by the way, let's throw that. It's like, you know, why don't you, it's almost like he's not really thinking about what he's saying. You know, everything seems to be a reactive, knee-jerk response here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of bravado in that. I mean, to say that to South Korea at this juncture, just when we are really building up our alliances over there and when he himself has said it's urgent to do so, another reason that that particular statement is just absolute bad timing is that South Korea is about to undergo an election.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately,
a lot of South Koreans would like to elect in this leftist leader who would return to so-called sunshine policies with North Korea, even though South Korea's own defense ministry rejected those policies of engagement with North Korea because, in their estimation, they did a big study and they found that those policies had failed, that no matter how much we reached out and engaged with North Korea, North Korea remained equally bellicose. Mm-hmm. So to give South Koreans now another potential reason to turn against the West and to turn against strong policy, you don't want to alienate South Korea. You want in every way, shape, and form right now to be encouraging South Koreans to like the United States and to like this new pressure we're putting on North Korea.
Yeah, exactly. We need to keep them on the team, not give them a reason to look for an exit. And as you say, it is, you know, I think there's a lesson to be learned here, even from the West, you know, from the United States with what's happening. I mean, with this analysis of, you know, moving to some sort of sunshine policy, that doesn't work. Because, you know, when you negotiate with somebody, there has to be some level of parity. There's got to be some common interest here on which you can negotiate on. And I can't find the common interest that we could possibly have with North Korea right now.
Yeah, this is such a cruel regime. As I say in A Perilous Path and elsewhere, this is a country where the human rights situation is so dire that you could say the country as a whole is a concentration camp.
Yes.
It doesn't just have camps. The whole country is so severely oppressive that it's like living in a camp. And to reach out and negotiate when this regime is so intransigent and so cruel toward its own people really seems wrongheaded to me, unless we're seeing some indications that we're going to see some serious movement on their part. And a point that I make again and again is that engagement, outreach, and diplomacy are indispensable tools of American foreign policy, but we pay too little attention to the political, moral, military, and strategic goals of American foreign policy. And for some reason, our, as I said, best foreign policy presidents from Truman to Reagan were able to do that. They were able to always keep the goals in mind, even as they were deciding whether or not to pursue diplomacy with these various regimes. And I don't know, the big picture seems to get so lost in all this petty bickering we do in this country.
No, I agree.
And back and forth on all these petty issues and forgetting the big picture so often.
Well, and you mentioned the ways that we have to pressure China. It seems like there have been, you know, some exercise to that end. China, you know, we're still kind of wondering, are you really going to be there to help us out? You know, their ambassador of the United Nations made it seem like he wasn't necessarily in agreement with Xi. What did you think?
Yeah, I was a little concerned by this latest meeting of the Security Council, the one that Tillerson headed up, because China was more disagreeable than it has been. And I do worry somewhat that the press's constant unanimous critique of Trump foreign policy and saying that Trump is actually being bellicose toward North Korea, which is not true, that gives China an opening then, because these repressive leaders don't only look at what American leaders are doing. They look at what the American people and the American press are doing, and they know that American leaders can't do anything without the American people to some extent agreeing to it. So I think we have to wonder if China turned back that way in part because they're seeing this lack of support for Trump's foreign policy. But again, I do think Trump and his team are off to a very promising start with China, and that we've seen better policies already reaping better rewards. I mean, when Trump held those cordial discussions with President Xi at Mar-a-Lago, it's really interesting that the U.S. initiated a strike on a Syrian air base right when he was there. And then that, in turn, lent credence to many statements by Trump officials that we would consider all options, including force if necessary, to prevent North Korea's use of nuclear weapons. And all these other the ways we were finding to pressure North Korea and its enablers seemed to have its effect. North Korea or China said it would no longer import North Korean coal and then showed that it meant it. And it indicated that it might no longer export oil to North Korea, which would just devastate the North Korean economy, and also made public statements of cooperation with the United States and with South Korea, which were just amazing to hear, on how we all want to denuclearize.
Exactly. Well, you bring up a good point, though, Ann, about the media and not really being on our side, are they? And I say our side, the side for peace. I mean, they need to be careful. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, let's turn it into a propaganda machine, but let's make sure that both sides are represented here. But there's so much into bashing Trump that they really compromise our foreign policy. They're really not helping us in a lot of regards here, are they?
Yeah. There's this hyper-focus on the negative and a convenient leaving out of the positive, which is not helpful.
Well, Dr. Ann Pierce, author of A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with social Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits.
We only get paid if you win your case.
There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
So I'm 47, so I've watched a lot of May Day protests. Imagine my surprise watching an International Workers' Day protest that was designed over 100 years ago to highlight the concerns of workers, foremost among them, of course, wages, arguing on behalf of policies that would lower wages. And I thought, boy, global capitalism is pretty tricky. It got you guys to advocate on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce. How'd they do that?
Tucker, it had nothing to do with that. Really, I was with 5,000 people in Foley Square and hundreds of thousands all across the country. And we were there to make a statement about the shared values that we have as a country. Mm-hmm. And that is that immigrants are part of the solution. Immigrants have been making America great for centuries now. Immigrants right. are workers, they're business owners, they're employers, they're neighbors and families and friends.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to join with hundreds of thousands of people all across this country in peaceful protest to say, to make that statement that we are going to rise up and that we are going to fight back.
Okay. I mean, I kind of agree with what you said. I mean, I'm for immigrants and they're all those things and they're great. But they're also one of the reasons that the wages for American working class families have stayed stagnant or declined. Because when you have an overabundance of something, in this case labor, its value falls. There's no controversy about that. You're advocating for that. You're advocating, in effect, for lower wages for workers. And I just don't know why.
That's absolutely not what I'm arguing for. In fact, we said today that it's important to say that fair wages for everybody is important. Here's the facts. The facts are that immigrants contribute so much to the American economy. Here in New York, the state comptrollers estimate they add $230 billion in economic value. They pay $10 billion in taxes here in New York City. And New York City happens to be one of the biggest cities and is the immigrant capital of the world. We know in New York City that immigrants add tremendous value as workers, but also as employers and small businesses.
For sure, but I think I want you to track with me here, Steve. These are average working people. So let's say I work for $12 an hour and someone shows up who will work for $7. Do my wages go up or do they go down? And that's happened across the country. There's no debate about that. A lot of studies show it. The Chamber of Commerce and big employers are totally for it. But now you're for it, too. And I'm just a little confused. Are they paying you to be for it? Like, why would you be for that? It doesn't help working people.
I'm not sure that he understood. I'm talking not Tucker Carlson, but Steve understood what the math was leading to here. Steve Choi. Insistent, and this is part of the problem, when you get caught in ideology, is that you're only focused on your point, but you're not seeing the, in a sense, the global impact, the big picture impact of what goes on and how this is, having an effect on keeping wages stagnant, is that if you do have an overabundance of labor, cheap labor, and especially, by the way, it happens to be illegal. And they talk about the $10 billion, for example. It sounds impressive with those numbers. But what you're not looking at also is what does it do? What is the ill effect? You see, anything that's illegal, I mean, on the surface, see, they're trying to justify the illegal, Scott, here based on these numbers. Now, that looks, they say, okay, well, they contribute $10 billion in taxes there in New York. But what does it do in terms of managing illegal immigrants? And that's what this is. That's what this is all about. Yes, it looks like they're helping on one hand, but we're not talking about the opposite. And I think that's what Tucker was trying to bring out. But Steve Choi he didn't have the capacity to understand that part of the counter argument. I don't believe that anybody is saying that immigrants are bad for America. We're all immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. I mean, come on, how can we say that it's bad? But we're saying, look at it. We need to have, a legal boundary set up. And I'm not talking necessarily a wall here. I'm just saying just in philosophy is what are the legal aspects of having somebody in this country who is working, contributing? I mean, there are some countries you go to and you're an immigrant and you're there even on a visa basis or whatever. And you are not, you can't get a job. But here in this country, you work under the table. You can, do whatever it is. But when you do that, then it puts downward pressure on the legal citizens here in this country who are trying to take care of their families and pay for health care and all the other things that go along with living here in this country. And so in a sense, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. But liberals and those that want to promote this, it's like they're not figuring the math here. And I don't know if it's just a flat out convenient ignorance to it or resistance to look at this logically. I don't know, because I think, Scott, I look at this and I go, isn't there, to me, a clear logical debate and argument about this, that once you are illegal, then it really takes you out of the equation, and we're trying to force a round peg in a square hole here, and it's costing us a lot of money, not to mention what it's doing to the psychology of this country in telling people it's okay to break the law.
I can't believe that they can't connect the dots like that, because just like the Tucker clip right there. He's relaying to the guy that, look, what you're doing, I'm not saying that it's bad to have immigrants come in, but what happens is it's this, and it's something
that... Nobody's saying that, Scott, but they want to reduce it to that if you say, well, let me understand this, why this works, and you go, well, they pay $10 billion in taxes. The state controller estimated that they add $230 billion in economic value. All right, well, let's bet those numbers, but let's bet them in its totality. Is that $230 billion economic value correct? Is $10 billion in taxes correct? Okay, and what is the cost of illegal immigration for that $230 billion in economic value?
And how much does that number change if they're legal? resident.
Well, of course.
Because I would assume that would change, because if all I'm doing, if I'm not paying any income tax, which income tax is a pretty large portion of the taxes that you pay in a year,
mm-hmm.
And I'm only doing, you know, paying for the food that I buy and things like that.
Right.
Well, here in Minnesota, we don't have taxes on food, clothing, or any of the essentials. None of those are taxed.
Yeah.
So if we have illegal immigrants here, what are we getting taxes for then?
Yeah, well, they're not contributing.
They're not contributing.
Yeah, sure. And here it is. You know, you use a case here, but then you know, it's interesting because as you break this down, in some states, I mean, here the president is saying, look, we're going to have three. You know, with this new tax reform, what he has proposed, that there would be three demarcations of tax. You know, what was it, 10, 25, 35%, right? Something like that, you know, those numbers, those three. Well, then you've got immigrants. What are the immigrants actually? What is that $10 billion in tax? It sounds like a big number, but what is that? Is that 5%? Is that 6%? Whatever the state tax happens to be, the local tax.
Well, it's whatever they're paying for, you know, when they buy a pack of gum or they buy some gas. I mean,
depending on the state,
what it is.
Yeah, sure, that's what I assume it is too. But let's just say, depending on the state, it could be anywhere from, you know, 6-12%, roughly in tax that you're paying. But that's a lot less than 35 or 40% that taxpayers are paying. And oh yeah, by the way, the reason we're doing that is because we need to pay for, pay for our military, pay for, you know, federal services, all these other things. And they're just coming in and just, you know, skimming off the top. And somehow that's justified. And I'm saying, look, come in legal, you know, through the immigration process, which we allow, I think we're up to about 1.3 million people a year. And when they come in, they have to come in and prove that they're not going to be a burden to the taxpayers. Well, of course, they can't be now more than ever, because we have a lot of illegal people coming through, overstaying visas and one thing or another. But nonetheless, they're still illegal, and they're skimming, you know, they're skimming from the top here. And I don't understand. I mean, for liberals to say that somehow that works and it's justifiable, it's like, wait a minute. And Tucker brings up a good point, because here you have these people who are fighting for wages on one hand for American citizens, and now all in the name of, you know, the May Day march and labor, they are conflicted, and they don't even know it. They can't even see that they're in the wrong parade here. Don't you love politics? Well, it's quite exposing. This is Bill Martinez. The conversation continues. Stay with us, America. It's 18 before the top of the hour.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
For more information and the interviews you love, go to BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts at hashtag BML Talk. This is Bill Martinez coming at you in over 280 markets across this country, around the world via shortwave. Our next guest says the key to successful leadership today is influence. It's not authority. Feedback is the breakfast of champions, and none of us is as smart as all of us. I like this. I like the line here. I'm gonna hold on to this. I love when you get these nuggets of wisdom that come down the pike like this, and you can write this down. So the key to successful leadership today is influence. It's not authority. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. None of us is as smart as all of us. This is why it's so critical in this country today that, we find a way to get on board and focus on something that we can agree on and get this country moving again. But it's going to come more from the outside than the inside. That's clear. The inside, the elites, the ruling elites of the Beltway is what got us into this mess to begin with. And, this is more authoritarian than it is by influence that's taken place. I mean, case in point here to what our next guest is talking about. And we're going to talk about his brand new book about mentoring, the 1 minute mentoring. And of course, you mention 1 minute anything and immediately you think of Ken Blanchard because he is the one that, brought it all to focus. I mean, with the 1 minute manager, you remember that? What an incredible, incredible book that is. I think it's sold, over 15 million copies here, Ken, now?
Yes, it really has done amazing. And we just revised it recently. It's called The New 1 Minute Manager to kind of update it because when they didn't have an e-book, they said read it. And we laughed because the 1 Minute Manager was on his intercom system, of course. Nobody's on the intercom system. And
right.
A number of other changes. We changed the 1 minute reprimand to 1 minute redirect. So, but it's number 2 on the business bestseller list already. Imagine after 30, 5 years.
Amazing. That is so pertinent, especially in today's culture. I look back at the time and you were really rather prescient with that book and knowing that we were heading into what I call the microwave generation, where we stand in front of a microwave and yell hurry up because things don't move fast enough. So, like, if you're going to correct me and redirect me, I'll give you 60 seconds. The egg timer has just been turned over, so go ahead and make it happen right away, right?
Absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, speed is really fast. And so I think that's why mentoring is so important nowadays, particularly since, you know, Claire Diaz-Ortiz, who's my co-author, she's 33, and she was one of the first employees at Twitter, and she
exactly.
came to me and said, Ken, in the past, mentors have always been older, and I think we could learn wisdom from you oldsters, but you all could learn something from us youngsters, particularly around technology. So we initially got interested in the whole concept of cross-generational mentoring and how you can learn from each other.
Well, and exactly. That's what happens oftentimes, Ken, I found, and I'm sure you have as well, is you find yourself teaching that which you yourself need to learn. And that educational process occurs in the mentoring process, right?
Yes. That's a great line. You always teach what you need to learn.
Right. I have to laugh at myself because when I was put into an adjunct professorship in Southern California for a season, I'm going, wow, you know, I am, you know, this is something that God wanted me to learn here because I am learning a lot from these kids. It was quite the ride and quite the experience and quite the blessing because I think at the very heart of what we all want is that we want to have this sense of contribution and productivity. I think this is the growing frustration that our country has been subjected to in the last, you know, decade or so, is that it's just not doing what it needs and what it's crying to be doing, if that makes sense.
Yes, and you know, one of my feelings, Bill, is it's so silly for companies to let people go completely when they're 65 or above.
Yeah.
Keep them on at least part-time to mentor young people.
Exactly.
And those young people help the retirees learn about technology so their retirement could be more impactful. And I think that it's silly to lose that wisdom completely.
Without a doubt.
I'm all for that kind of thing.
Well, and I like that Claire, you know, could see what was going on and brought to you this proposition that, you know, we need to talk about mentoring because you have these millennials that are coming in. I mean, what a powerful force that's right here on the horizon. And we've been saying, Ken, that we need to get them at the starting line, get them out of their safe spaces, you know, understand that, look, at they can go out and make a difference, realize their dreams, and do not get so frustrated that they just, you know, end up stifling themselves.
Yes, and I think that the older people who can give them wisdom will protect them, too, from doing stupid things that don't help them in organizations. You know, how can they contribute in a positive way rather than in a negative way?
Well, because we've been there, Ken. We grew up and we had all this passion, but not as much knowledge. Now we got the knowledge and we're lacking on passion. So we need these millennials, the combination of the two of us. You know, like you say, and I quoted you on this quote. I said, boy, I'm going to emblazon this in my office. The key to successful leadership today is influence, not authority. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. None of us is as smart as all of us. It's a great line.
And that last one, I think, is powerful, Bill, because that's that 1 + 1 is greater than 2, and that's
exactly
what we're really finding. And we talk about in 1 minute mentoring is the power of the mutual learning that takes place.
Right. Why is mentoring, Ken, the secret ingredient to professional and personal success?
Well, it's interesting. I've looked into it and asked people. I don't know anybody who's successful who can't tell me a couple of people or more who really helped them along the way. I bet you had some mentors, Bill, in your career that you can
Absolutely.
Look back and say, wow, I certainly wouldn't be where I am without what I learned from them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, in your book, you talk about, I like this in mentoring, you've broken down the acrostic in mission, engagement, network, trust, opportunity, review, and renewal. And I imagine in review and renewal, it's like a wheel. You just spin back into mission, engagement, network, and you keep going through that wheel process.
Yes, and I think this acronym really shows people what are the steps, because mission really is where the beginning of it is. What are we trying to accomplish, both of us? And then engagement is how do you want to meet? You know, is it person to person, or is it online, or some combination? And is network, you know, how can you help each other, you know, learn from people that you both know, and trust is always so important in relationships. And opportunities is what kind of things can you see out there that could be helpful to your mentor or your mentee. And then finally, review and renew is you constantly need to say, how have we done? Have we accomplished what we wanted to? Do we want to continue? So it's a nice acronym that tells people what mentoring is all about.
Exactly. And in your book, you address several types of mentoring partnerships, including you get peer-to-peer, you have adult to adolescents, apprentice to master, cross-generational, and mentoring within a company.
Yeah, I think that's where we don't want to lose the older folks and let them mentor younger people, and they're going to learn from them too. So it's an ongoing process. I often say that if you stop learning, why don't you lie down so they can put the dirt on you because you're already dead.
Exactly.
So, well, this is all about continuing to learn.
And you're right about, you know, I mean, here we are. We're getting a little bit older. You got a birthday this week yourself. So, you know, we don't see ourselves going out in the pasture. We still have a lot to offer here. And I see companies that open up that exit door, and I see a lot of assets going out that door. It's almost like you want to be there and capture these assets and redirect them because they're not over yet.
No, and I think it's just so silly to lose them as assets and how they can help your younger people, you know, because the young millennials and all, they have a lot to contribute, but they also could learn some stuff in terms of how to be more effective and what they're doing. And so it's just silly to lose the wisdom. And so I'm really excited about people say, you know, when are you going to stop writing? And I said, probably when I die, because I'm learning. My mother used to say, why don't you write a book by yourself? I've only written two by myself, one on golf. So many people helped my golf game. I didn't know who to write with and my spiritual journey. But I've constantly learned in these relationships, that's for sure.
Exactly. Well, this one here, in terms of mentoring, people say, well, how do I become a mentor? What do I do?
Well, I think it starts with your intention to be one, because I think if you tell people in your network that that's what you're interested in, you're going to find someone. And how do you get trained to be a mentor? Just be a great human being who cares about people, who's willing to listen and share knowledge and all. So it's a human being 101 is the training for being an effective mentor.
You know, it's sharing your life experience, you know, the things that you've gone through. They're easy. It's not like you have to go to some special class. It's just go out and have a conversation with someone. And then as a mentee, you know, go out there and find a mentor. And that's the call to action. And, of course, this book that you have given us, you know, in terms of the 1 minute mentoring is a great outline. The great ideas there that will be an encouragement to mentors and mentees alike. So Ken, that's the mission for us. Okay, that is going to be the focus. Is that find a mentor, find a mentee, right?
Absolutely, it really is really fun, and so I'm glad to have an opportunity to share with you, Bill.
Well, Ken Blanchard, I appreciate it. Always an honor to have you on the show. Congratulations on the new book, available at all the usual places. And it's just been released. And Claire Diaz-Ortiz, a former Twitter executive, worked with Ken on this book. And it is a true blessing. The 1 minute mentoring, how to find and work with a mentor and why you'll benefit from being one. Ken Blanchard, happy birthday. Good to have you with us, sir.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.